Welcome to the second episode of 15 Minute Fire, a Torah inspiration podcast brought to you by the Yeshivat HaKotel Bergman Family Leadership Program. In this episode of the show, I'll be interviewing Rav Shlomo Katz. Rav Shlomo is a prominent singer-songwriter in Orthodox Jewish circles, as well as the Rav of Congregation Shirat David in Efrat. He has put out 5 albums and multiple singles, with more on the way. Rav Shlomo is a well-known scholar in residence and performer, who sometimes performs with his brother, Rav Eitan, also a prominent singer. Rav Shlomo's music is known for its deep, soulful tunes and impactful lyrics. Rav Shlomo has much to share, and without further ado, I'm your host, Ben Sion Gisser, and here is my interview with Rav Shlomo Katz. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 2 of 15 Minute Fire. I am joined today by Rav Shlomo Katz. Rebbe, how are you doing today?
I'm doing amazing. Shavua Tov, how are you doing?
Baruch Hashem, I am doing well. I'd like to thank Rebbe for coming on the second episode of 15 Minute Fire. I am eager to hear the Torah Rebbe will be sharing with us today. So without further ado, let's jump into the questions. Question number 1 for Rav Shlomo Katz. How does Rebbe think music helps us serve Hashem on a higher level? And how can we learn to use it?
I think that it's so potent that it could do both things. It could either take us to a very high place, or it could really take us away as well. Just like anything that has the power, Zeh le'umat zeh, Hashem Yisbarach created counterparts to anything that's with holiness. So when it comes to music, Jewish music specifically, it's very, very important because music has a grabs onto our neshama much faster than words do, than normal words do. I always say that at concerts, I sometimes am in awe when I notice that people's hearts are wide. Oh, you have access to their hearts so much faster than sometimes Rebbeim try for weeks and months and years. But in the same breath, that's also true, God forbid, to be taken to the other place with music, like Rabbi Nachman speaks about coming from an impure place. So when we allow music to be you know, injected into our beings, into our kishkas, we realize that there's no such thing as Jewish music. There's Jewish davening, and music is one of the forms of davening. Jews don't get together and sing. Jews get together and daven. So it would be such a beautiful thing if that's the direction we're all heading towards, when we see that the world of Negina, the world of music, and especially from, you know, people like we have today in the Jewish music world, you have people that are really bringing down songs from a place where our souls are rooted in. Some of Yosef Karduner's music, for instance, is not from this world. It's coming from a completely different world where we identify with whatever is happening through those notes and we allow it to be on us. You might have heard of a guy named Eitan Katz. He's drawing from a place that has very little to do with what's the latest beat, what's the latest sound, as opposed to what's happening to my Shorosh and Shama right now. And then it's davening. It stops being music. It's not a concert. It's a tefillah. So I see that music can, you know, when I say music, I mean tefillah in the form of music has the power to express places that we didn't know even exist within us. And somehow, when I sing to Hashem, when I sing to the world, I'm able to express myself from a place I didn't even know existed. And I think that's one of the greatest chiddushim of music, is that many of us want to express ourselves. We don't know how. And we get lost, we get stuck, we get confused with trying to express ourselves verbally. Then a nigun comes, and everything I ever felt and more has a place for expression. So it's such a delicate chamber, this place called Heichal HaNegina, the chamber of a nigun. And the tzaddikim speak about treating this place with utmost sensitivity. So I think we're going on a great place, because people are realizing that in Yiddishkeit today, you just can't make it without music, holy music, being a core part of Avodas Hashem, and not just like a sweet add-on or like a nice added benefit. It's a core piece of everything else we're trying to do when it comes to like how to form a Ben Torah.
Absolutely, 100%. And listening to Rebbe's music, I've heard and felt this kind of a locking within me when I hear a good niggun, a geschmack niggun. It truly changes the way I see the world, and it's absolutely true. And one of the things Rebbe incorporates into his music is Hasidus. So I was wondering, how does one incorporate the lessons of Hasidus into their daily lives?
First of all, Rebbe Tzion, you are the sweetest in the world.
Thank you.
You're the best. I'm so honored to be here with you for these few minutes. There's a teaching from a great tzaddik who's alive today, Rav Kluger in Beit Shemesh. Rav Kluger, the Nezer. And Rav Kluger writes in one of his svarim, and we've had the privilege to learn this one very simple teaching in the shul of the Baal Shem Tov in Medjibush. Whenever we go on a trip, whenever we take our chever there, this is the main thing that we try to focus on, is this chiddush. He says, what was the chiddush of the Baal Shem Tov? What did he bring down to the world? And I think this will I hopefully be able to answer your question. The Baal Shem Tov added a word into our lexicon. It's a word we knew, but it's not a word that we lived by. And when you take this one word and you insert it into almost all the areas in which you examine yourself and in your life and think about yourself and where you've been and where you're going, I think this word is an amazing, amazing word. It's a life-changing word. And that word is adain. In Hebrew, that means not yet. So what does that mean? Up until the Baal Shem Tov, when someone wanted to be real, they probably thought that if they said, I'm so not learning as much as I should be, and that would be considered to be a real statement. Or if someone said, boy, I so don't know how to daven, or I don't have the shalom bayis that I want with my wife, or I don't have the relationship with my child that my child deserves. Now, if you add the word adain into those things, or not yet, the tone is completely different. Let's go back to these statements. Man, I don't yet know how to learn the way I should. That means that you will. I don't know how to daven yet. I don't yet have the shalom bayis that I want, but that gives the opening to say, like, wow, you have a ratzon. You have a will. You're not there yet, but wow, adayin, it's not there yet. Rav Kluger says that if the Meraglim would have inserted the words adayin into their description of Eretz Yisrael, the game over, it would have been a completely different story, because it's true. What they reported was true. But God isn't interested in us just proclaiming facts. God doesn't need that. God doesn't need anything. What's so gorgeous is that we take the time and we say, yeah, this is true about where I am in life, but it's a level of adayin. I have passion. I want more. Chassidus is, obviously, you don't need me to tell you that it's so much more than just quoting a beautiful sefer or going to Kivri Tzadikim. It's a complete style of living. It's living in a dance with the Ribbono Shel, like Rabbi Nachman says, you have to be baki b'rotzo, baki b'shov. You have to be able to know how to fly, and you also have to be able to know how to land. And when you land, when you descend from a high, Chassidus tells you that's also a whole limud on its own. You have to learn how to do that. But most importantly, you have to learn how to get up. So for me, Chassidus is not just for me, I think for almost anybody, Chassidus is not a chiddush. The Baal Shem Tov just came to restore things that were clear to us, that were forgotten over the years. But the fire of the Baal Shem HaKadosh today is the fire that's grabbing hold of the light of tomorrow. So this is something that needs to be continued to be cultivated and integrated into every area of our lives. This level of adayin, I want, it's not there yet. I want it. I'm not defined by the status of what's happening today. I am defined by what I want there to be tomorrow. So Alevai, if I can have an inkling of that energy in my Avodas Hashem, and I know that it's real when I don't, you know, use it as a cop-out saying, oh, whatever, as long as I want big things, you know. No. I am where I am today. But oh boy, Ribbono Shel, where I'm going to be tomorrow, you're not going to believe it.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. For those listening to this show, remember the word Adayin. Remember the word Adayin and use it in your lives. Moving on to the third question. How does one see themselves as a constantly growing person?
It's a wonderful, wonderful question. You know, the Western world defined the concept of growth, unfortunately, as aligned to achievements. And we're trying to rid ourselves from that because that's very, very, very just not there. Unless you redefine the concept, the term achievement. You know, goals, achievement. Oh, I reached that, I did that, I conquered that, I finished that. I would say two main things. And one of the main things in terms of growth is, you know, Reb Shlomo used to always say, how do I know if I'm getting closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam? So he said like this, physically, the higher I fly, the further I become from every person. Like if I'm on a plane and I'm flying high, so people seem to be smaller to me, right? I'm going further away from them. But spiritually, it's really exactly the opposite. Spiritually, the higher I fly, how do I know if I'm flying higher? And it's a Torah from the Vorker Rebbe. I saw this by Rabbi Yitzchak Vorker. He says, how much closer do I feel to every person? And that's a very important yesod that I think we should spend, you know, a lot of time, not right now, but I'm saying in our lives, thinking about that, because many people have this concept of, you know, that closeness to God means distance from kilu people, because people are what they are and they probably take me away from this serenity. No, it must be that I find a way to be closer to people. That defines part of my growth. But there's another element that I'm honored to share that I feel is becoming more and more evident and clear. But I think that what needs to be mentioned, sometimes when I learn more Torah, it's so much more easier and almost on automatic that I judge people. Because the more I know, it also means the more I know what people shouldn't be doing. But if my Talmud Torah, if my learning, or if my spiritual growth goes hand in hand with noticing how people are doing things wrong, it must mean that there's something wrong with the way that I'm understanding the word of Hashem. I don't believe that it's possible. I don't think the Kavana is, I just don't believe that it was God's dream that we learn about His will. And what would sprout out forth from that would be noticing how people are not holding where they should be holding. I believe so strongly that the kind of, I don't like to use the word outreach, we use the word inreach, the type of inreach that we're trying to do in today's day and age is by people seeing someone that's on fire from God and they say, whatever they're on, I want to be on, as opposed to someone saying, pointing out the bad things. So both the concept of feeling closer to people and noticing that my Torah, and the more that I'm learning, I notice the good in people. That to me is a sign of growth. But one last thing. I feel very strongly that Reb Nosson of Breslov was so right on when he said that in years from now, Orthodox Jews will ask themselves, how could it be that we consider ourselves to be religious when Hispodidus wasn't part of our curriculum, of our daily religious observance? And Hispodidus means taking the time and speaking to Hashem in your own language. Where Rabbi Nachman, we all know, was very, very makpid. He emphasized this, that everyone must, you know, dedicate, he said, an hour a day to speaking your heart out to God in your own language. It's becoming so clear that that's literally our oxygen. It's one of our last remaining lifelines in such a busy world, in such a world filled with turmoil. So how do you know if you're growing? Do you find more time to set aside to talk to Hashem? That to me is a very, very big sign of growth. So that's just, you know, just a few thoughts that I have on this very important question that you're asking.
Beautiful. Always look and watch, and self-introspection is important to see if you're truly growing, if you're getting closer to the people around you, if you're getting closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I would like to thank Rav Shlomo tremendously for joining me today on 15 Minute Fire. I hope the listeners of this podcast, I hope you guys enjoyed. I hope you guys continue to tune in to more episodes of 15 Minute Fire. Once again, thank you so much, Rav Shlomo.
B'Simcha, Rabbi Tzion.
Thank you so much and enjoy.
Thank you for listening to this episode of 15 Minute Fire. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or suggestions, please email 15minutefire@gmail.com. That's 15minutefire@gmail.com. Thank you and have a great day.